The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Red Friday, January 27th, 2023. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Marco Marquez, and Stan Weber. All right, Stan, I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes. I'd like you to listen to a couple of comments from Patrick Mahomes about how he's felt at practice, how he felt at practice on Wednesday, and also what the dialogue is like between him and the coaching staff as they prepare for the game on Sunday.
Yesterday's practice and even today, how much do you feel like you have to give an input to Andy, Eric, about how you feel comfortable with these type of plays versus this type of look, or do you just want the coaches just to deal with the game plan?
I think I always do it in a sense, but obviously this week will be a little bit different. I'll give a feel for how I feel about each and every play. If it's a play I think we can utilize, or if it's a play that I think maybe it might not put me in the best position, I'll let them know that. And so you do that in every game plan, but obviously this week's a little bit more important to let those guys know what I'm comfortable with. But it's hard when they have those great plays up there. Sometimes you want to make sure you can get those plays ran, especially when you're playing a great team.
Sam. Patrick, just wonder if you give us a peek behind the curtain. What a typical day has been like for you this week as far as just how much time does it require to go through the treatment and stuff like that?
Yeah, you get here pretty early, and you do some treatment, and then you kind of go to your meetings. You come back, and I have a lot of media this week, so knocking the media out, then do some rehab and stuff like that to prepare yourself for practice. Get treatment after practice, after you're watching film and stuff like that, and then you do a little bit more rehab. Then you go home. You get in all the different. They have like 8,000 different devices you can use before you go to sleep, and you wake up and do it all over again. So I mean, it's a full day schedule. So I try to just make sure that I can prepare my body the best way possible, and Brittany's taking that mom role even to a higher level this week. I haven't been home a ton.
So a couple of things I want to talk about from those comments. Number one, are you surprised, okay, based on how that injury looked, and you understand the challenges of playing quarterback, are you surprised that he was a full participant on Wednesday, that he hasn't been in a boot? And I know we won't know how well he's recovered until he actually plays in the game, but any positive sign that Chiefs fans could have been hoping for has been received this week. Are you surprised at how well this has gone so far? Because I'll be honest with you, I thought that maybe Wednesday he'd see him in a boot. I thought maybe Wednesday he'd be a limited participant. I didn't know, but all these pictures coming out of him on Monday, you know, and Tuesday, working out on his own with his trainer, you know, with no boot, barefoot out there, doing all these different, I mean, I did not think you would be that quick of a process bouncing back.
I'm not a medical expert or doctor, so you know, it's really hard to say what my expectations were, but everything's turned up so well for Patrick Mahomes. When he got hurt against Denver on the last quarterback sneak of his career, or the last one he's had so far, there's no way I thought he was going to be okay after that one.
Out for the year, I thought.
Yes, and maybe affect you for the rest of your career. And he's bouncing back. They conservatively held him out, what, two games? Mm-hmm. But it seemed like he was ready before then. And walking off, he's like, I'm okay. I'll be back. And you're like, what? I thought it'd be tears rolling down his face going, this is a disaster. I guess I am not as surprised because things always turn up rosy. But also, we saw him play. We saw him come back. And even though he limps and stuff, when the play starts and the adrenaline flows, injuries are not nearly as much of a factor as everyone thinks they are. When the play ends and your body starts screaming, you know, pick the foot up, and you walk him limp back to the huddle, then you're worried again. But when he gets ready for the next play, it's weird that your body doesn't get a respond. Your football mind takes over the adrenaline, and you just make the play. So when I saw him do that, and it wasn't structurally ruined, it was just pain tolerance and things like that, I never thought for one second this week the Chiefs weren't going to be fine. And I wish he were 100% healthy. How can you not wish he was 100% healthy? But in my own weird way, I'm presenting to you, this has been helpful to the Chiefs, because the psychological part of this game, an AFC championship game, is a big part of it. And what he had to do with those 70,000 devices and the whole structure he's had all week, there's been no time for him to watch NFL Network and contemplate, like, whoa, the Bengals are talking trash.
He's locked in.
They're totally locked in, and the whole team has to be, because when he said, I talked to Andy Reid about my favorite plays, guess what? Chad Henne's getting an audience. Chad Henne gets an extra 15 minutes or 2 hours to also talk to Andy. They're going to cover every base. Chad, he's so good, they didn't even have to talk to him. He just stood on the side and said, I'll be ready. You don't think the Chiefs are actually talking to him about, if you're in, what's your favorite place this week? So everyone's working so hard. I think the distractions are down. And maybe you don't follow this with me, but I think the biggest risk the Chiefs have in this game is the pressure that they have to win. They got to play the role of the favorites and go to the Super Bowl and not let the Bengals go 2 years in a row and all that kind of stuff. And that's not where the focus needs to be. Just play your game, take the pressure off, attack the Bengals, and the Chiefs can win the ball game.
Okay, here's what I'm excited about. You listen to Mahomes talking about, like you said, the plays that work from him and the dialogue he'll have with Andy and the coaching staff. You can make the argument, whatever, if he's not he's one of the best offensive minds of his era, Andy Reid. He's got Eric Bieniemy. He's got Matt Nagy. He's got Chad Henne. He's got Mahomes in his feedback. If we are to believe he's that good, he's of an offensive mind, it gets me excited, the football geek in me, to think about, okay, he had 8 days to know that he's got a compromised Patrick Mahomes. What is this game plan is going to be magnificent. He's, like you said, it's okay. This is what the laser like focus for so many reasons, but also this is going to be a showcase for. This is what I think is going to happen. We're going to talk about this, and it's going to be a spectacular performance, not only from Patrick Mahomes, but also from Andy Reid and the coaching staff. This is what they're built for. If indeed he is the great offensive mind that we believe him to be, isn't this a time to show it? A time to add to his legacy?
Well, that's my thought. I fully am engaged in what you're saying. I think you're going to see great things from the Chiefs. Let me throw out a couple of reasons, some real-life examples. Last year in the playoffs, if you can advance back, I think the Chiefs are a better team this year than they were last year, defensively, et cetera. Not quite on special teams. But overall, Chiefs are a better team than they were last year. But still last year, you were thinking, let's go to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, that's how you went into the playoffs. So you play the Buffalo Bills. What did Patrick Mahomes, if I remember right, didn't he scramble for all kinds of yardage and make plays and match Josh Allen's running ability? And it was just spectacular play. Okay? The best of Patrick Mahomes moving. But I propose to you, if you get a chance to go watch the Bengals game, and they may show it on the NFL Network. You don't have to go to YouTube or wherever. Watch that game. And I thought one of the problems that Patrick had in the game against the Bengals, obviously the fourth quarter was not the Patrick Mahomes we've ever seen before, but I thought one of the problems was he was moving and running too quickly.
Yeah.
Josh Allen can run all the time, and I would never say anything bad about his performance that day. Josh is not a refined passing quarterback. He's a dangerous passing quarterback who can run like a mother. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick can make spectacular plays. He's been better this year throwing from the pocket. But when he scrambles, it should not be something he leans on that much. I thought he ran too much when he got to the Bengals game. If you agree with me on that at all, go back and watch the tape, see what you think. Ain't going to happen this time, Steven. You know where you kill people? Throwing from the pocket. You know how when Patrick, first of all, when you're injured, if it's not too bad, it ends up being the best thing for you. Because you know what every great athlete is supposed to do to have the most success? The most probable success is do your fundamentals. Stick with your fundamentals, and you will perform at the highest level. Patrick Mahomes will be so sharp on the fundamentals this game, he's not going to rely on spectacular plays, and I think that will bring out the best of Patrick Mahomes. And we talked about how it'll bring out the best of everyone else, including Andy Reid, and what plays he's going to call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does Tony get the ball 3 more times this game on jet sweeps and ways of getting the ball quickly and get that explosive? And you go, wow, Tyreek Hill showed up. We beat the Bengals because Tyreek Hill Jr. came. Well, they might not have had that in the game plan if Patrick could get him out of jail with a normal play. You know, it's third and five. What do the Chiefs do? Call any pass play, and Patrick will take care of it. He'll complete the pass, or he'll scramble, right? But this game, the offensive lineman better block perfectly. Everyone better make their assignment. And, oh, by the way, coach may just say, let's get something for Tony, get him on the edge, and he'll gain five. Oh, wait a second. He just went 40 yards. I'm very optimistic about this version of the Chiefs and this version of Patrick Mahomes because of how you respond to injuries, how they're prepared, and also he has improved throwing from the pocket. In the last 15 months, he is a way better pocket passer than he used to be.
Mahomes inside the pocket this year. QBR, 73. NFL rank first. Passing touchdowns, 35. NFL rank first. Touchdown percentage, 6.2. Rank first. First down percentage, 42%. Rank first. Those are numbers in the pocket.
And you know, you saw his spectacular plays when he scrambles out and flips the ball against Denver or at the goal line. He still has a spectacular. Steven, can you tell everybody we didn't set that up?
No. We didn't set it up.
No,
organic.
This is like, let's like, we're a jam session.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we actually talked to Trey Smith about exactly what you're talking
about. I'm
going
to play that for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay,
let's
so
go.
Because Andy Reid was.
I hadn't heard that yet either.
He was on the Tom Brady podcast. People keep getting mad about that. It was a good podcast. Andy Reid was on it. And Jim Gray, do you still have that clip? Oh, I bet you don't. How good are you, this guy? Look at I'll challenge him. I'll challenge him.
He's typing
it's
away.
The playoffs,
over there.
You got to be ready.
Yeah.
Can you play that clip for Stan? This is Jim Gray with Tom Brady on the Let's Go podcast, and Andy Reid was on there, and Jim Gray was asking Andy Reid about Patrick Mahomes' ankle, and you know what, and you'll hear the question: what they can do to protect him.
You love the grit, but sometimes you got to try to protect the player from the player too. So these guys are wired different, Jim. I mean that you can hear it in Tom's voice. They want to rip your heart out every possible way they can, jump on it, squeeze it, and everything else. And that's the way Patrick was at that time. But yeah. I just wanted to make sure that son of a gun wasn't broken because it was kind of an ugly, ugly look right there. But once he got it checked out, he was good to go. And he's doing well now. So he's in a good place.
And how will you protect him leading up to the game so that he's able to play? Are you going to keep him away from himself?
I'm gonna let his offensive linemen take care of that. They need to feel that and up their game a little bit here.
So I asked Orlando Brown about that. We'll play that later. But Nate asked when we were talking with Trey Smith about those comments. Here's Trey Smith yesterday.
So I don't know if you heard this. Big Red was doing a podcast with Tom Brady, and they asked him what he has to do to protect Patrick Mahomes in this game. They said, "Oh, that's on my offensive linemen. They got to take it up a notch." I'm sure you guys already feel that pressure trying to protect Pat. You know, on a daily basis. But what is it like now, knowing what he went through last week, getting ready for this game?
Yeah, we take a great amount of pride and a sense of pride in protecting him. And, you know, ultimately just seeing the way he battled out there, it makes you want to work even harder, makes you want to fight for him. And, you know, you just want to keep him clean. You want to keep him healthy. You know what type of player he is. So for us, you know, we take a tremendous amount of pride in keeping him clean. You know, it's going to be a huge emphasis for us. You know, it's a huge emphasis every week, but going forward it's huge.
So Cincinnati's they've been talking a little bit. They were. Yeah, I'm sure you saw the video footage of them calling it Burrowhead and all those things. Do you use any of that to motivate yourself? You pay any attention to that stuff?
No, I mean, my motivation is being the best pro I can be. You know, I just want to go out there and dominate on every level of the game that I can and really just get my job done as effectively as I can. I don't really focus on anything else.
Keep Pat clean, says Trey Smith. Stan, what do you think?
Well, we're here on Friday. And, boy, there's a lot of analysis that's able to be done after a game before it gets here to Friday, right? So this is my chance to talk to you. And so I want to state this. The way I look at this is I think that the offensive line will pick their game up. I think the preparation for the Chiefs will be adjusted and better. I think Patrick Mahomes will be focused in on fundamentals, and I think he's going to function at a high level. And it's almost an advantage that he slows himself down and doesn't try to be Superman in this game. Don't play like it's the AFC Championship game. Play like you do every day, Patrick Mahomes, and you will be able to beat people. That said, the Cincinnati Bengals and Coach Reed talking about they're wired differently. The dudes that's wired the most differently after Tom Brady's the GOAT, and even here in that podcast, you hear him talk, and you're like, whoa, that guy's going to win. You know. That sounds like a guy who is going to win. He says, everybody's watching me. I'm going to make everybody around me better. I'm going to change the expectations. We know the whole story. Joe Burrow's that guy. He's the new Tom Brady. You know, Patrick Mahomes may be the best quarterback, but the guy who is that killer dude is the Bengals, Burrow. So let's respect the opponent for a second, because I'm excited about the Chiefs. I feel good about the Chiefs winning this game under this certain scenario. But here is what I want to state. If the Bengals win, and you guys are analyzing this, I won't get a chance. You may not even want to talk about this by the time we get to Friday, if the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl and not the Chiefs, okay? If they do, and they put pressure on the Chiefs offense, and they squeeze them, and they make them off kilter, I just am not going to spend much time in my mind, and I'm not yelling at the fans. You can do whatever you want, and analysts. I'm not trying to do that. I'm saying in my mind, I want to state it right now, there will be almost no room that it's Patrick Mahomes' ankle, because that'll be the story. The Bengals can get their arms around a Chiefs offense and cause a Chiefs havoc without Patrick Mahomes being injured at all. That's how good the Bengals are. Their defensive coordinator is the most underrated coach in the whole NFL. He gets his guys, who may not even be superstars, to play at a level to disguise things that everyone says they disguise. But does it really work? The Bengals' disguises work. They change like Bill Belichick during the game. He puts his players in the best position. He makes it hard on Andy Reid's offense. No one makes it harder on Andy Reid's offense than the Bengals. Aaron Donald for the Rams, remember they won the Super Bowl last year? If the Chiefs were matching up with the Rams last year in the Super Bowl, the Rams would not mess the Chiefs up like that. Just because Aaron Donald's on the field, the Chiefs can handle that. The Bengals have an answer, and it's not Patrick Mahomes' ankle, in my mind, that's going to be the difference, because that'll be the narrative. If the Chiefs lose and the offense struggles, we're going to say, because Patrick wasn't 100%, that's why the Chiefs lost. So I'm kind of in a point where I believe in the Chiefs, and I don't have any excuses. I think if the Bengals slow down Patrick Mahomes, it'll be because that's how good they are, that's what they do, and it's a hard matchup for the Chiefs. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because you guys get the choice to respond first, right? 6 o'clock. Who's responding before 6 o'clock? Maybe some writers are popping out something or tweeting. But you guys get first reaction. And if the Chiefs lose, you're going to be there's going to be 1,000 things. You're going to be so, and one of them is going to be, well, it's Patrick Mahomes' ankle. I'm just telling you, this is my opinion, and I believe I'm going to have it on Monday morning. That is not the story of this game. The Bengals are good on defense. They're going to cause the Chiefs havoc because they're that good, not because of Patrick Mahomes' ankle.
Mr. Lytle has just tweeted in and wants to know if you have simulated this game yet using your tabletop game.
Yes, we have.
Do I want to know the result?
Probably not.
All right, then we'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
How much does it mean to you that this opportunity comes against Cincinnati?
It's like a storybook telling. I mean, it's bittersweet. It had to be these circumstances, but I'm riding with my team, and I love the situation that we've done. We built something phenomenal here, and we're not done yet. But we got to go out here and do it, and we get the chance to do it in Arrowhead, which is phenomenal. And to hear these guys hosted it all 5 times, you know, majority of guys in this locker room hadn't not experienced it. And here I come with 200 games, and I hadn't experienced it. So it was a crazy, you know, telltale story. But I'm just being present, enjoying the moment, and preparing to win a football game.
That was Chiefs defensive end Carlos Dunlap, who in his 7th career playoff game finally was a part of a victory. He was 0-6 in the playoffs leading into last week's game against Jacksonville, and going all the way back to the day after he signed, and I was up in the press conference when he first met with the media up in St. Joseph. He talked about some of the reasons why he picked the Chiefs, and obviously he said he wanted to get his 100 sack. He wanted a chance to get to the Super Bowl, and he also said there's a couple of games he had circled on the schedule, obviously Cincinnati. And so that's why I asked us, what does it mean? Not only do you play Cincinnati again, it's in the AFC Championship game. And for those that don't know, Carlos Dunlap played forever for Cincinnati. And so I can't imagine, what's going through his mind, right? I mean, that's
yeah. And that's but he played with the Andy Dalton cute story, not get it done, lose all those playoff games, right?
Right.
Really good regular seasons coming on. But this is a whole new group with Zach Taylor as the head coach and Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. It's so weird. It's a whole different Bengals story than what he experienced. But it just gives you an example of how we better value every playoff win.
And I think
it's such a big deal in the NFL.
And it's important to have that influx into the locker room where you have guys that remind everyone else, hey, I played for 10 years with Cincy, and we didn't get a playoff win. This is my 13th year in the league, and I just got my first playoff win. That's a reminder to all these guys how special this
you're
is.
You're so correct. And I was lucky enough when Amazon Prime had their first game ever, it was an Arrowhead Thursday Night Football, right, against the Chargers. And right as the game was starting, I happened to be right where the Chiefs come out with all the steam and whatever that explosive steam, whatever, it's so loud.
Right.
But I just think about, you know, being a player and standing so close to them as they came out. I think about a guy like him standing in that line getting ready for that, you know, just a minute or so that they're all there. And a guy like Travis Kelce or something could be just going, yeah, here we go again. You know, let's go out and play. Then you stand next to a guy like that, and you see the true excitement in their eyes, and it just reminds you. It's just such a great reminder for the old vets who can't be intimidated by the moment, not too big for them. That's good, right? It's good to think we deserve to be here. Mm-hmm. We're on our way to the Super Bowl. But it sure is cool when you have someone next to you who's going like, wow, this is big, man. Look at this. Look at that crowd. And it brings everybody in a great mindset, I think. You're right. Those rookies, they kind of want to act like they're Chiefs. They want to strut themselves out there and go, we are the Chiefs. We're the dominant team in the NFL. But a part of them is like still a little kid going, we're playing in the AFC Championship game. Look at this crowd. It's on fire. Here we go. And it's they got the perfect mixture. Andy Reid's excellence, Patrick Mahomes' confidence, guys just acting like, how do we win this game? Play it like any other game. You hear that all the time, right? Don't get nervous and play stupidly. Be calm. But you need to have the excitement. And it's a great reminder. It's just like when you have grandkids or kids. Nate, you got kids, and Christmas is better when you see what they think Christmas is
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah.
You forget all the hustle bustle and how hard it was to shop. And, you know, Christmas is really a balancing act, right? You see the good, but there's also a lot of work. But not when you see those kids. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like Patrick Mahomes on Christmas Day. When you see those kids, you're like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. Well, let's go. So I think it's great that those guys remind, hey, guys, I played in playoff games. We haven't won. Let's don't take this for granted. I think it's great.
Being in that locker room the last couple days, one of the things that stood out to me so much, like we had a chance to talk to Jalen Watson, who made a one-handed interception in his first ever playoff game on a broken hand, by the way. He's making $700,000. He was a mid-round draft pick, wasn't even sure if he was going to be in the NFL. And here he is. He's going to be defending people like Ja'Marr Chase, you know, and Boyd and Higgins in the AFC Championship game as a rookie making $700,000 a year. Meanwhile, on that same team is Chris Jones, who's already got a Super Bowl championship and has played in a couple of them and is on an $80 million contract, right? At $20 million this year. And I do think that's why, like, I've talked a lot about Chris Jones, for example. There's a lot of veterans that I think, but I think that defensive front, it's on them. They have got to make Joe Burrow uncomfortable in this game. You can't put it on these rookie defensive backs to cover the best wide receiver core in the NFL without giving them some help by pressuring the quarterback.
Let me play a couple of clips, and then we'll get Sam's reaction to that point. First, I talked to George Karloftis about trying to pressure Joe Burrow.
The Chiefs have had trouble getting to Burrow and bringing him down these past three games. You did sack him in that last game. Can you tell me some of the challenges of going up against Cincinnati and trying to get to Burrow and trying to bring him down?
Yeah, you know, their offense, obviously, he's the quarterback. It all starts with him. You know, they have a great O-line. They've made a lot of investments, as far as I'm concerned, in that O-line. So they're a lot stronger than the film we've watched in the past. You know, Burrow gets rid of it pretty quick. So that presents challenges in and of itself. But we have our hands full with their O-line, and we're going to be ready for him.
Here's Steve Spagnuolo, who Nate and I watched, was unable to get into the front door of Arrowhead, and he was trying to wave open the automatic doors. The door won't open. The door. Someone open this door. And then he walked in. Nate also got locked out of Arrowhead, which was by design, but I'm not going to get into that. Here's Steve Spagnuolo when he was asked about Burrow and how good he is at avoiding pressure and getting throws off.
Yeah, when you watch him, he just is, the word I come up is nifty. He never panics in the pocket. Feels like he's got like six eyeballs around his head, right? No, seriously. You know, we watched him last night, Joe and I were watching him, and there's a rusher coming in, looks like he's gonna get him. And Joe didn't do very much, but he made a move, never lost balance, took a couple of steps, threw the ball downfield. He's elite. You gotta be more under control is the only thing I could say. We've worked on that. And yet, if you try to rush control too much, you never get there, right? But it's both ways. We got to cover really good on the back end to give our pass rushers time, and then we got to find a way to finish them. Getting more guys there, you want to get as many guys as you can, right? It's hard for one guy.
How can they get to Joe Burrow and do what they didn't do in the last AFC Championship game and sack him multiple times?
They got to bring guys off the edge. That last comment you heard him talk about. This is a guy, Coach Spagnuolo, his philosophy when he's sitting there going, well, what should I do in this situation? It's always leaning toward bring more heat. You know, let's play man-to-man. How do you do it? You've got to hope the officials call the game like it's a playoff game. The Chiefs like mauling people. You hear Tony Romo, he's an objective guy, talk about how the Chiefs are banging on people downfield and probably should have more calls against them, holding, illegal contact, past 5 yards, all that stuff. But guess what happens in the playoffs a lot of times? They don't throw the flags as much. So the Chiefs can get a playoff-type call, not a regular season, but a playoff. Yes. You get to ramp the physicality up just a little bit more, and the Chiefs can do that. Like the Buffalo Bills, when they're playing the Bengals, they're playing way too much zone, and they have no chance against Joe Burrow. You've got to just beat on those receivers and hope you don't get a flag, and in the playoffs that might work. So that's how you get your extra split second. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
He can't get rid of the ball quite as quickly in a playoff game as he can in a regular season because he can maul his receivers a little bit longer. That'll be helpful. And then you also say, because we believe in our man-to-man coverage, because we can lock in and push and shove a little bit more, let's bring the heat. You know, your first-round cornerback, they need to be able to bring Snead and guys like that that are as good as linemen at rushing. They're like magnets. We've got guys, McKinnon and Snead, are better pass rushers to finish the tackle than the defensive linemen are. They also aren't fighting the offensive linemen all day. But you see, when Snead comes off the edge, he doesn't miss that much. So can you get that extra blitzer off the edge and get to Joe Burrow? Joe might see him with his six eyes, but he might fire the ball incomplete and punt.
And what's
he might not tackle him, but he may punt. But he may in an AFC Championship game go, I'm going to try to get away from Snead and step up, and there's Karlofkas right in his face, and smash, you get it. So I think that you're going to have to rely on your man-to-man coverage and hope the officials don't call as many penalties, and then bring the blitz. You can't get there with four guys. You can blow up whoever you want. They're not going to get there with four guys because Joe Burrow will take care of that. He throws it so quick, guys. He's not throwing 18-yard comebacks, okay? He's throwing balls immediately for 3 yards and letting his guys run. He'll throw to the running backs. Does that make sense? He's going to get rid of the ball. It's going to be hard to sack him.
You could be describing Brady with the Patriots when you say all those
things. He's the new Brady.
Joe
Burrow is.
But one of the reasons why Trevor Lawrence threw that interception that basically ended the game last week was because Justin Reed blitzed and was in his face and made him throw off his back foot.
There you go. I think that's the Chiefs. The Chiefs guys off the edge are the best in the NFL.
And
Spagnuolo sends them.
Real quick on that, though. I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. I have been since he came out of college, and there was a specific play in the national championship game that I saw him make that made me really feel that way, which was he stood in there and took a blitz from a linebacker and absolutely got lit up and still stepped into the throw and made a perfect pass into the end. He is not afraid to take a hit and stand in the pocket. But because of that, he's been sacked a lot. You know, 41 times this year, and he's been sacked 5 times in the postseason already this year.
So you wouldn't know that in Kansas City.
Yeah.
It seems like he's never sacked.
Make it seem like it's impossible to sack him, and we're talking like that right now. He gets sacked 2.5 times a game. The Chiefs need to sack him a couple times in this game. They need to do that, and other teams do it. So, you know,
it can be done.
And last year, the Chiefs weren't able. Is the biggest weakness Chiefs have is that the Tennessee Titans sacked him in the playoff game last year. We didn't know the Bengals were what they were when they went to Tennessee, because Tennessee was a higher seed. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Did he get sacked like 8 or 9 times against the Titans? So it was a giant problem last year. and the Chiefs couldn't play it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where the Bengals match up well with the Chiefs. But the Chiefs' pressure ability now, their sack ability, mm-hmm. is way better.
Way better.
And so the Chiefs have improved in the area that gives them a different chance. But on a X's and O's, guys, I'm not going to count on Frank Clark beating his guy and sacking Joe Burrow. I think it's going to be Spagnuolo sending the blitz and those guys getting there and causing havoc. And the Chiefs do that, and that's a way. And they're better at this. It gives them an additional chance. But the respect you ought to have for the Bengals is off the charts, guys, because Joe Burrow and those receivers and the running backs and the defensive coordinator and the cockiness they have is real. I'll just say this. Josh Allen, 7 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, wouldn't you have had Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in your quick discussion about the two best quarterbacks in the NFL? Wouldn't a lot of people have done that with just comfort level?
Sure.
Fine. Okay, so I want to point out something. Josh Allen is a Wyoming quarterback, not highly recruited, Wyoming, and improved tremendously as a Buffalo Bill quarterback. Awesome story, legitimate quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Compare that just for a second, though. Wyoming's quarterback who's improved greatly compared to Ohio State / LSU's national championship quarterback. How is it so easy for me to go, Joe Burrow's in a whole different league when it comes to this stage and winning at the elite level? So I'm not passing him up past Patrick Mahomes. But you see what I'm saying? Josh Allen is just an improved Wyoming quarterback. Joe Burrow is a national championship undefeated LSU quarterback. He is so good and so ready for this. His dad was a coach. Frank Solich's top assistant was his dad. He's been around it. Joe Burrow is a whole different level mentally. And you know how you have a chance to beat the elite Chiefs? You better be as tough as hell and believe all the way to the last little molecule in your body. Joe Burrow's not trying to upset the Chiefs.
Right.
And that's what makes him dangerous. He is not upsetting the Chiefs. He really believes he's the best quarterback. He believes, and not in a cocky way, it's like, in this game today, who's going to win? He's like, why not me? And that carries the whole team, and they're good. These Bengals are legitimate. If they go to two Super Bowls in a row, it will be that it's because they're good,
and they'll have
proven it. It'll be awful. They'll have proven it in Arrowhead.
Let me play a couple of more clips for you. Here's Carlos Dunlap about Joe Burrow and what he does well against the pass rush.
You know, last year they had trouble getting to Burrow. That was one of the reasons why the Chiefs lost. They bring you in to help solve that problem. So can you tell me a little bit about the difficulties of getting to him and actually, you know, bringing him down and putting pressure on Burrow based on the last matchup?
He's super slippery in the pocket. He's a very savvy, crafty player. He gets the ball off quick, so they do a good job of mixing it up early, getting it off quick, and then when they're throwing it deep or late or the plays and the highlights that you guys show, there's typically chippers or some type of protection that gives him more time, and that's what they have been having success at, and we take that responsibility on as a D-line to not give him that time.
So I know you like Spags, and to hear what he has to say, I thought this was good stuff here. Spags tells us that his defenders have to see things well on Sunday.
More than anything, when you're facing a quarterback like this, it's your eyes. It's when the eyes get undisciplined, in my opinion, that we end up having a problem. If guys play with good eyes and challenge, like we're talking about, and our D-line can give them a little bit of pressure and make them move around, then we have better downs. Now, can you do that every down or win every down against this guy? You're not going to do that. And so when you were talking about the methodical, you know, we've talked a lot about let's make sure we don't give explosive plays, because we know what that looks like. That was up there 2 years ago, right? And if they do that, let's just keep lining up, play the next play, hoping that the next play will be one that will turn it around for us. And that's what you got to do. And, you know, we got to be able to play better in the red zone, or it's going to be really hard.
How about those comments from Steve Spagnuolo?
Yeah, always listening to him is just brilliance. He doesn't want the explosives, but the Bengals aren't the team that they were last year when they had the explosive plays. They were new to the NFL, really, with Ja'Marr Chase. They needed the explosives to get them out of jail. The Bengals are a completely different team now. They don't go. They may hit a pass, but really they're about refinement. They're just hitting every pass, every down, and moving down the field, taking what you give them, but quickly seeing it with the six eyes. So I think that's a whole different monster with the Bengals. The Chiefs' defense You need to force field goals instead of touchdowns. That's a big part of this game. Can you stop the Bengals? Because they're going to move the ball down the field, but when it gets to the 20-yard line, can you shut them down and force a field goal? That'll make a big difference in the ball game. So this Bengal team, here's the way I would see the game. When the Bengals play their best football, they are better than the Chiefs. But they have rarely ever this season played four quarters of their best football. They give you about a quarter and a half. About a quarter and a half of football that doesn't look like the rest of the game. And that's when people take advantage of them. Guys, just go back two games ago. Did you see the Ravens?
Mm-hmm.
Who should have won that
game?
They
had them beat.
Okay. All everyone wants to talk about with the mighty Bengals is the game against Buffalo. Right? What did the Bengals do that day? They had no letdown. They played four quarters of their best football. If the Chiefs are going to win, they just need to get them back to playing that quarter where they aren't quite the Bengals, and the Chiefs will win the ball game. But if the Bengals play like they did against Buffalo, then the Bengals will win. I want to point out Zach Taylor. You mentioned earlier in the show, congratulations to my son Stanton for getting a step up and being a legitimate special teams coordinator at Toledo. It's a big step in his life. I know Zach Taylor. His dad, Sherwood, was on the staff at K-State coaching when I was in college.
Hmm.
I know Zach Taylor. And we didn't talk about it much, but you know how Brock Purdy's playing? He was Brock Purdy of college football. He transferred in from junior college to Nebraska, where number 13, he was Big 12 Player of the Year. He was a savvy quarterback that didn't look good in any way until every pass was completed. And you just want, just like Brock Purdy, like, oh, there's another completion. And he sure doesn't look nervous. That's Zach Taylor. He's grown up. He is a legitimate coach, guys. You know, you can't put him in the same sentence with Andy Reid. I can't. You know, that's Zach. I know Zach. But you know, I think of him as a youngster and a college player. But the fact is their coaching staff is really put together. This isn't too big for them. He grew up around Oklahoma football, by the way. His dad was at Oklahoma as a player there. They're used to winning. He grew up with the DNA that every game we're going to go win. So this isn't too big for him. The Bengals mentally are really ready to go to the Super Bowl. But what they have is sometime during almost every game for about a quarter and a half, they don't play excellent football. And that's when the Chiefs have got to strike.
You just described in many ways the Chiefs. I feel like a lot of times through the course of this year, especially the second half of the season when they were playing all these subpar opponents, they would have a stretch in the game where they look like that's the most dominant team in football. There's nothing you can do to stop this Chiefs offense, and their defense is good. But then somehow they would fall off, and the other team would be in the game. Then we'd be talking about the end of the game. Wasn't that impressive? And the Chiefs got a little bit fortunate to hold on and win the game. I feel like both of these teams, when they're clicking, they look like, oh, that's the best team in the NFL. What do you do? How could you, when the Bengals are clicking and those three wide receivers are catching the ball and those running backs are pounding the ball, how do you stop them?
You're not stopping them.
And the Chiefs the same way. Like when
you
got to
score with them at that point.
Yeah, before Mahomes sprained his ankle against the Jags, you're like, nobody's stopping that offense. Nobody. But seeing either one of those teams put it together for an entire game, maybe that just goes to show you how tough the NFL is.
That's what makes it cool. But yeah. you write down this stuff, Nate.
Yeah.
If people don't know, you really do write down a lot of stuff. I'm saying when the Bengals have those moments where they're not their best, the Chiefs need to strike.
You got to capitalize.
You can make a case that, well, the Chiefs aren't always perfect for four quarters either, but the Chiefs have proven it for five stinking years.
Yeah.
Okay? The Bengals are new to this, and that's a big difference. The Chiefs are in their fifth straight AFC championship game at home. Okay? They have Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. The Chiefs can have these off moments and still win because that's who we are. That's who the Chiefs are, the best team in the NFL, the best organization in the NFL. Once the Patriots, you know, had to Brady leave and all that, here you go. But we're talking about the Bengals because they're the ones that need to come up and rise up to the Chiefs level. I point out to you, if they play the whole game like they did against Buffalo, they'll win the game. They can compete with the Chiefs on every down and do things the Chiefs can't do, but they don't do it hardly ever. They did it against Buffalo, but go watch the other 17. They only got to play 16 games. Here's another thing about the Bengals that make them dangerous. They're cocky. They're confident. Do you realize there's 17 games in the NFL now, not 16? It used to be 8 home games, 8 road games. It was easy, right, Steven? Now, every other year, you have 9 road games. This is the AFC's year that we have 9 road games, 8 home games. The game that got taken away from Cincinnati because of the injury on Monday night with Buffalo was a home game. Do you realize they only played 7 home games and 9 road, and they've been out in the playoffs and had to go to Buffalo? These guys are really mentally ready to go to the hotel on the road, have the crowd yell, and go to work. That's what makes them dangerous. But they have lulls in their game. They have lulls in their game that just let the Ravens look like the better team. The last regular season game, what did I tell you guys? Before the playoff game, didn't I tell you this is going to be a dangerous game for the Bengals? If you go watch the last three quarters, especially the second half of the last regular season game, the Ravens were just as good as the Bengals all that game.
Mm-hmm.
So don't imprint in your mind the Buffalo game as what the Bengals are every game, because they have inconsistencies. Will the Chiefs strike when the Bengals give them the chance? That's the question. And like you pointed out, Nate, it's not a given. The Chiefs aren't that consistent. They're a little bit of a roller coaster as well. But I think at Arrowhead, at home, and all these things, I think that they will take advantage of those times. They better. But I'll be very surprised if the Bengals don't have a lull where you watch for a little while and go, gosh, they're punting again. What just happened?
Before we break, please give us your official predictions, your official scores for the NFC Championship game and then the AFC Championship game.
Well, we always said the AFC was better than the NFC. We haven't spent any time on that today. But after the Chiefs win this game, if the Chiefs win this game, we're talking about the Super Bowl. This is not like the AFC champions, the best team, and they're going to win the Super Bowl. There are two legitimate teams playing in the NFC that can win the Super Bowl. Philadelphia showed in a playoff game that Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are playing like they have all regular season, which is elite and probably the best in the NFL. So it's hard for me to pick against the Eagles. Hey, I respect the Niners so much. I called them as a Super Bowl team last year, and Brock Purdy's been able to continue it. But I just got to think, on the road, as good as the Eagles are, at some point Brock Purdy's not going to play flawless football. I'm going to say 27-24 Philadelphia.
AFC,
I am going to adjust what my game said, imprint in with the things that I believe, and then paint my face red real quick. And I'm going to say Chiefs 24, Bengals 23. But it could not be closer than 50-50%. And the Bengals are the team in the NFL that is the most dangerous to the Kansas City Chiefs, because Joe Burrow is not just a good quarterback that rolls through every 5 or 10 years. He is, for instance, how good is Aaron Rodgers? How good do people think of Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, Hall of Famer, one of the best
of his elite, era. Right?
I mean,
if you're playing against Aaron Rodgers this week, you're scared. Joe Burrow is so much better than Aaron Rodgers, because he plays great when he has to play great in big games. Aaron Rodgers, what does his career look like? A disappointment. One Super Bowl championship. He only went to one Super Bowl, didn't he?
I believe so.
Aaron Rodgers had 13 wins in the regular season. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is awesome. Put him up there with the elite. But Joe Burrow wins the games, like Tom Brady. Joe Burrow is so different that Patrick Mahomes, to be the best quarterback, we can say that. I have no problem with that. But the guy in the whole NFL that's the most dangerous on one game and for a team is Joe Burrow. He is the baddest dude in the world. He is the new Tom Brady, and that's what the Chiefs are going to have to beat. You're going to have to beat a super team. So when the Chiefs do win, pat yourself hard on the back, Steven, because you will have proven how great the Chiefs are by beating this Cincinnati team.
And let it be known that the over-under is 47.5, and Stan had it at 47. Just under. Stan is like Las Vegas. We will take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Up next, we have Gary Lezak. When asked what impresses him the most about the Cincinnati weather, he said, nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
Hot take.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
That's right. You know, what do I think of the Cincinnati weather? Nothing.
You try to give these meteorologists in Cincinnati some bulletin board material, aren't
you? Gary,
they?
Before you go on a tirade about the game, let's start with what's the most important. Please give us the updated the latest news forecast for the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead on Sunday?
Well, interesting. Very rarely, you know, usually when you have games, there's a south breeze. It's primarily the breeze most games, a south wind every day in Kansas City. And then when there's a front that goes through, you have a north wind. This will be a rare northeast wind. It's going to be a little northeast breeze, about 14, 15 miles per hour. So bundle up for tailgating, wear a lot of layers, get those barbecue grills going. Not extremely windy, but a northeast breeze, 14, 15 miles per hour, it'll make it a little cold. But that'll blow from, you know, Independence north across the stadium towards Kansas City. So a little northeast breeze, dry and cloudy for the game. I think the cloudy sky adds some atmosphere. So you have a lower cloud deck above us. There could be a couple snow flurries, nothing significant. So a few snow flurries are not out of the question. It'll be so cold. Temperatures will be around, the latest data has about 10 degrees by Sunday morning, maybe 13. And then into the upper teens to near 20 degrees during the day. Kickoff temperature in the upper teens. So, yeah, a cold game. We've been through it before.
But it'll be dry. It's going to be dry, right?
Yeah, maybe okay. A few snow flurries. That's it. There's a few flurries. Nothing that would accumulate, nothing that would cause any slick conditions on the field. All right? So that gives Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Willie Gay, who said nothing. And Bolton. You know, people around the nation don't know about Willie Gay and Bolton. In Dunlap and tell me it's Carlophagus.
It's Carlophagus is how you pronounce it.
Thank you. Carlophagus. they don't know these
getting
names.
In there.
I barely know these names, right? So guess how they're going to know these names? When Burrow gets sacked, all right? Three or four times in that game, all right? Damn. And he gets pressured. Oh. My gosh, how loud is it going to be out there?
If extremely loud.
142 decibels, probably.
I'm going to show Nate an inappropriate video so he can laugh
boy.
On the air with you, because I'm sure I'm 100% Nate may laugh hysterically at this. And here we go.
What? What are you looking at?
Well, it appears to be some sort of cow humping a motorcycle.
Right.
Oh, great.
I guess that would be a bull,
yeah,
then, wouldn't
that's
it?
Right, yeah.
I don't see any horns on it, but.
What does that have to do with our discussion about the Chiefs?
Well,
nothing.
It's what the Chiefs are going to try to do to
right.
the
Take
Bengals.
Take the bull
offense.
By the horns,
yeah.
That's right.
Steve, you're trying to loosen up, right? You're trying to get loose.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, listen, don't get nervous, Chiefs fans. You know.
Too late.
I don't agree. I think that. The Bengals are not better than the Chiefs. What the heck? The Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, and there's one way to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
By winning, right?
Yeah.
Reconciled by winning, as Kim English said. Now tell us the forecast for today, please.
Expect we warmed up. It was 17 degrees yesterday afternoon. We warmed all the way up to 38 degrees. It's 36 now. It's going to be in the 40s today. Around 50 degrees tomorrow afternoon, and then that Arctic blast gets here. Perfect timing. It's all meant to be. It's all, everything is meant to be. And do you know what? We're going to be here on Victory Monday. We'll be going to the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
Go Chiefs, get loud. I want to hear you loud. Have a good day. Go Chiefs.
That was Gary Lezak. We'll be back after this on WHB.